It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 420. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free at www.instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I got two great voicemails that I'm going to get to in a few minutes. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. On Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And, of course, don't forget about the wiki. That's mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the past shows and all going all the way back to show one, where you will find the links to the audio and the show notes. Now, remember, some of the links from some of the older show notes pages may not work because I started recording over 7 years ago, so some of those websites may not even be around, and I don't update the show notes from past shows. So just keep that in mind if you click around. I got so much. I got a jam-packed, great show. I want to talk about portable utilities. Every year or so, I bring them out. I want to remind everybody about the great utilities, and we have some great sites. Now, I was going to dedicate almost the whole show to that, because I was away for a few days, and before I went away, I figured, well, let me have my topic all ready. And at that time, I didn't have a lot of voicemail or email. Well, since then, a stack of email with great questions and great feedback, two voicemails, and I want to get to all that content. So we're probably going to condense the portable utilities just a little bit. It's summertime. Everybody's taking vacations. They want to get away, but business must go on, and you want to have meetings, and you want to be able to see the person that you're meeting with. Go to Meeting by Citrix, the ultimate service for hosting your meetings online, where you can use their HD Faces feature and literally have a meeting like you're all sitting in the same room and you can see the other person. It's easy to join. You can use almost any device to join, the iPads, iPhones, and it's tremendous. You have to check this out, and you get to try it free for 30 days. But you got to go to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So go to gotomeeting.com, click on try it free, enter the promo code podcast, and you will be able to experience HD Faces with GoToMeeting and see what I'm talking about, and you'll be back for more. Before we get to the portable utilities, I want to sort of do my In the Trenches segment and talk about the consulting and some of the work that I'm experiencing and going through and sharing those stories with you. And boy, I'm in the thick of it right now. I went away for a few days for my wedding anniversary to just get away and unwind. And I ended up doing sometimes more work than I do when I'm here. Well, this is funny because last year the same thing happened, because my anniversary is August 11th. And going away in August like that, it's when the uptick of work starts, where I have this slowdown in consulting on June and July every year. You wouldn't think that this work is seasonable, but It is. A lot of clients, a lot of business clients, they don't want to do any upgrades. They don't want to do any work. So it gets slower. But August, it starts to pick up, and I try to go away for a few days. Here's what happened. I had a help with a serious DNS issue, and I was able to log in and take care of it. I sold a system. I recovered a lost directory from a client. I picked up a new client. And all this while I was away. This was just Monday and Tuesday. At the same time, I have two clients experiencing issues Tuesday that were moderately serious. They didn't need me to like come back from vacation, but they were able to hang in there until Thursday, which was great. One of them, though, wait to hear this. It's an internal drive in the server. And sort of every other boot, we get access to the drive. So clearly there's a problem with the drive. Now, we don't have a good backup of this. There's a long story behind that, because this drive wasn't supposed to be important and they didn't want to spend the money on backing this up. Well, guess what? When you don't have it, they discover it is important. So we're now copying the files. And this process is now happening right now to an external drive. And what's amazing is we're looking at 110,000 files. So this is taking quite a bit of time as it is backing up right now. So we're hoping the drive hangs in there while that's being backed up. Now, another client is an orthodontist, and you've heard me talk about them because they're an all Mac shop except for one old PC. And thank God we had Shadow Protect running on it because the PC died. And I'm now in the process. They don't need it tomorrow, the system. And over the weekend, they're closed. So they need it for Monday morning. So I have another system, an older system, that I'm going to recover and restore Shadow Protect to get the whole image restored. And this is different hardware. So I have to plan for the drivers for this system. I'm taking care of that, and I'm going to be doing that over the weekend. Last night, I also had a laptop that a client, this is an older laptop that was running great. It was a gateway laptop, but the drive was too small. I was out at my client's house doing some work on some other systems, and she showed me this laptop that's running. It's tremendous. You know, 2 gigs of memory. It's an old laptop that I would normally say, put the money into a newer machine. But this was in such good running condition. All she needed was a larger hard drive. So I said, here's what I'll do. I'll get you a link from Amazon for a new drive that will be 3 times the size. If you purchase that, bring me the system. I will back up and restore everything and put the new hard drive in. This client, I wish every client was like this, brought me not only the new drive, all the software. She had all the CDs. Everything was in a nice laptop bag, all organized. Brought me the Acronis discs and the external hard drive that had the latest backup of everything. And just presented me with everything to make my life so much easier. If every client was like this, it would be so much easier. So we know everybody's not this organized. And that, I think, is why it's worth someone who takes the care of maintaining their equipment, even though it's older. This is one of those rare times where I said, I think it's worth getting a larger hard drive because she loves this notebook and the way it operates. And I said, you know, it's worth the 2 hours of my time and the new drive in making this upgrade. And we were talking about this in the pre-show a little bit. I will cap my hours when I'm billing. Sometimes that process could take 5-6 hours doing this while maybe you're doing other things. It's almost like cleaning viruses. You know, if you're, you know, what do you charge? I tend to systems like that. And if they're that organized and everything's in place, I will, even though I spend more time, I'll usually just charge a couple hours. So to make it more affordable and I want clients to embrace me doing the work. So I don't want to price myself out of business by charging too much. It's really one of those things that you have to weigh client by client. So I'm doing all this, and at the same time, I have a client that has purchased a large amount of hardware from me that I got to make sure everything's ordered, everything's done. So I'm taking care of that, taking care of the project plan for the install of all of that equipment. All of this is going on, and that's why there was no Tech Vets last night on Wednesday night, because I was just swamped with all of this work, and I even dragged my youngest son out of bed this morning because I need help with carrying some systems. And I said, you're working for me today instead of sleeping. He had to quickly get a shower and help me load the car up and helping me, schlep around equipment all day today. So I have been extremely busy. I'm lucky I have time to do the show tonight. There's not going to be a long post show because I got more work to do. I have to call a client and get another backup going because I'm going to be visiting tomorrow. I also have to do a test of backing up their Dropbox account and all the storage on Dropbox they want to back up somewhere else. So I'm testing something, and I'll talk about that probably in a couple weeks. So I got that going on. And then, trying to get some sleep where I'm operating on 4 hours sleep right now. It gets hard when you have your own business. You can't slow down when the work is there. You got to jump on it. I'm embracing all of this work with enthusiasm and excitement because I know what the downtimes are like. So when it gets busy, I got to be able to ratchet up and match that. I can continue getting all of this business. The business has picked up. I am extremely thankful for that. And it seems like this is cyclical, and it happens every year where August I get the uptick and it's nice and it carries into Christmas, and then things fall off a little bit January and February. They pick up in spring and then drop off again for June and July. I've seen this the last 3 years. Most important thing when you're doing something like that with the business is to plan accordingly and save accordingly, which gets tough because you want to be able to plan for the slow times. Got to take advantage of the busy times. Now, while I was away and all these problems like the DNS issue, I'm going to talk about next week because it's very detailed what happened and very technical. And I'm repairing something that I did some research on that was very interesting that I want to share about a server where we're running Hyper-V and we have a DNS Active Directory domain server with the virtual NIC and the physical NIC both being registered in DNS is actually causing me a problem. See, I told you it would get technical real fast. I want to talk about that next week because there's a fix that I'm going to be applying this Saturday, and I'm going to let you know how it works out. So I want to be able to tell the whole story from beginning to end. But during this time, my client, where I needed to log in, the hotel loses internet access. You're going to find this very funny. They have Comcast. This is Ocean City, Maryland, and it's a pretty big hotel. I'm at the front desk, and it's the next morning, and we still don't have internet access. We can connect to the Wi-Fi, but you can't get their page to, tell you, where you got to click OK and agree to the terms and get out to the internet. You can't get that, and you can't ping out. They have Comcast, and I offered my services. Now, they don't know who I am, and they don't know, if I know what I'm talking about or not, but I figured, let me offer, because they said, no, Comcast is coming out. They're going to replace the Comcast modem, and I'm like, boy, that's Comcast's answer to everything. That may not be the problem. I want to help, and then I realize, they're not going to accept my help. One of the guests behind me was, hey, let him help if he could fix this, So there were guests that were also heated. They needed the internet access. They were ready to see me try anything to fix this, but that wasn't happening. So we had to be patient. So we were down from, there was no internet from 9 o'clock at night. I didn't learn this until about 11 or 12. So 9 o'clock at night to 2 in the afternoon the next day. Now, luckily I spent time on the beach and doing things outside that I wasn't there the whole time. But when I got back and finally realized internet was back, I was able to log in and do a temporary fix for this DNS issue for my client. And then I was able to get back online, and I'm like, okay, I'm online, and I can start helping some clients. And I'm remoting in, and I'm doing all sorts of things. I was busy, and yet I still had fun and had a great time being away for a few days. How would you like this? Picking up a brand new client while you're away, because I was referred by one of my clients to someone else, and they are going to be moving their office in October, and they need some big help. So that's looking like a home run client. Very, very happy for that. You know, nice uptick in business all around. Hear me describe all the work. Let's get to portable applications. You know, that's one of my favorite topics, and I actually dedicated a whole presentation to the Philadelphia Area Computer Society last year. I just want to put this in the minds of everybody, just exactly what is a portable app and why am I so excited about it and why do I continue to talk about them and like them. A portable application is a computer program that you can carry around with you on a portable device and use on any Windows computer or Mac if you get the portable Mac apps. When your USB flash drive, portable hard drive, iPod, or other portable device is plugged in, you have access to your software and personal data just as you would on your own PC. And when you unplug the device, none of your personal data is left behind. That's the definition of a portable app, but there's a lot of other features that are important that help define what a portable application should adhere to. And that's, a portable app has to work from any device, USB flash drive, portable hard drive, iPod, etc. It has to work as you move computers and your drive letter changes. So no matter what drive letters are assigned, it has to be immune to the drive letter process and it still has to be able to run. Portable apps features continue working as you move computers. So if I run an application and I run it from my USB stick and I take it, plug it into a computer on a USB stick, it's got to be able to run and fully function. And it doesn't leave files or folders behind on the PC. The app doesn't leave registry entries behind except those automatically generated by Windows. So it doesn't generate any registry entries. It's optimized for use on removable devices. It doesn't require additional software on the PC. And it doesn't interfere with software installed on the PC. All of these things together define what a portable application is. The most important site that you want to remember, and I remember years ago this site didn't exist, and I was still always behind portable apps. The best site is portableapps.com. There you will find every application that you could ever think of in every category that you could think of for picking an app to run in this portable mode. The most famous one, at least to me, the best and one of the first ones you should look at is down in the internet category. And you want to look at Portable Firefox. And it would be listed under Mozilla Firefox Portable Edition. You can run a complete browser from a USB stick. Have your own bookmark saved. This is great when someone's browser doesn't work. It's broken. There's a problem. And you're at someone's computer. And you want to get to the internet. Having your own browser with your own bookmarks to be able to save the day. There's nothing like it. I always recommend that as at least one portable app. There are thousands of apps now. I used to say hundreds, but I'll tell you now, there's probably thousands. Every utility that you could possibly imagine. I like the portable apps that allow me to burn a CD or DVD on the fly. So maybe there's software that isn't installed on the client's computer. portable antivirus so you can quickly run and clean someone's system. If you want to be able to do file transfers, you know I like FileZilla. There's a portable version. Many of the utilities that I always talk about for repairing systems, there's a portable version a lot of the time. So you want to make sure that before you look at one of these utilities like the Windows Repair Utility from tweaking.com, they have a portable version. Look for the portable version first because you can move that easily to your USB stick, create a directory, put that utility in there, and run it right from the USB stick. One of the greatest features that I like about portable apps, you can install their core app where you can then pick the utilities and it will add it to the menu. You got to experience this where you can literally just pick and choose all the portable apps you want and they will automatically install right on your USB stick and be accessible from the portable apps menu. It doesn't get any easier than that or any better than that. That's the first and most important link. There's another link that you should be aware of, and this is portable freeware. And this link gets overlooked a lot, and it's from portablefreeware.com. And here you can pick all the different categories and find a lot of programs that, yes, you've seen them on portableapps.com, but you may find some that Portable Apps hasn't covered. So check that one out. And there's a third link that I often like, and it's called tinyapps.org. This is a great little site. It's been around forever. And this brings me back to the old DOS days. They are character-based applications, tiny applications that, again, follow all of the criteria that I defined to be a portable application. So they run from a single directory and they follow everything that I discussed. And there's plenty of little text editors, internet, graphic systems. They are great to explore and look at because a lot of them are important when you're running from the command line. I can't think of a single most valuable tool in my consultant's tool bag as all of the portable apps that I run from a USB stick every day. I don't know if a day goes by that I don't run a portable application. And I think that it should be part of your toolbox for attacking, and whether you are even if you're just doing this for yourself, but if you're certainly in a position to help someone, this is the way to arm yourself and to put these great utilities on a single spot so you can easily get to them and run. And all the different situations that you're in, you want to be able to fix and repair systems. And not only that, maybe you're at someone's computer and you just want to be more productive and you want to run some things for yourself. Well, you can literally almost build your own desktop environment off a USB stick. And 16 gig USB sticks are very inexpensive. So there's no excuse. Get a nice big USB stick. Start loading it up with all the portable utilities and all the apps that we talk about, and go through all these categories and pick out your favorites and build that USB stick. And then don't forget to back it up. Copy everything from that USB stick. And if you're putting personal data on that USB stick, then you better use TrueCrypt to encrypt it. USB sticks that just have the utilities for me and it doesn't have any personal data, I don't encrypt it. There's no need to. I don't want to go through that process. I have it backed up. I don't care if anything happens to it. I don't care if I lose it. I don't care if anything goes wrong. If you have a USB stick that is in that category, then don't encrypt it. There's no sense. It doesn't help you. But again, if you have personal, confidential information, client files, client info, then make sure that you encrypt that USB stick with TrueCrypt. And I've done plenty of shows talking about how to do that. It's very, very simple. You can go to TrueCrypt.org to follow the instructions and be able to figure that out. Well, let me know if there are hidden treasures of portable apps that you have not heard me talk about, or sites out there that offer different look at portable apps, and maybe portable apps that aren't part of the three sites that I've mentioned, then send me an email, miketechshow@gmail.com, and I'll add it to the list and I will talk about it in an upcoming show. All right, we have two voicemails. The first one is a comment from Kevin. Give a listen.
Hi, Mike. This is Kevin with the Computer Doctor in Richmond, Virginia. Just giving you a call in reference to an issue that I believe his name is Mark or Claudius in the chat wrote in about on show 419 about the remote desktop over VPN issue. I've got a client with a somewhat similar issue where I have not had a chance to resolve this. Ultimately, the client didn't want to spend any money on trying to fix it, but where they are trying to remote desktop in through VPN, where we control the host network, but not always control the guest network. And they can sometimes RDP into the client server, and lots of times can't. Ultimately, what we found is that if you ping the server first before RDPing into it, that actually would make it work 100% of the time. And then sometimes the problem would go away and they could RDP without the ping, and sometimes they couldn't. So it's a very interesting sporadic problem. Like I said, I did not have a chance to do any real work into it because ultimately they just didn't want to spend any money. But I'd be curious to know if Claudius's problem is similar, where he pings the client machine first and then can RDP through to it, or if he's even resolved it or not. So just wanted to throw that out there, and I will be listening to the next show intently. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. And Mark's not in the chat room right now, but I know he'll hear your message and get back to me right away. So, Mark, let me know, okay, and if that helps or if you are doing that. Here is the next voicemail, and this is an Outlook tip.
Hello, Mike. Patrick Boyle, Springfield, Missouri. Got a new utility that I used, and boy, it works great. It's I had a customer who had several hundred emails in Outlook, but they had gotten rid of their contact list. So no backup for that. They thought they'd never need it again, and that changed. So I looked around and found this utility at a website called clearcontext.com, and their product looks really slick. Its real job is to make more sense out of your Outlook inbox and prioritize things and automatically put incoming email into subfolders to help make it a little easier to deal with. One of the things it has in it, though, is a tool that will go through any folder of email that you specify in Outlook and extract the sender's name and email address, and then give you the option of saving it to an Excel spreadsheet or saving it as into any particular Outlook contacts folder that you want it to, and it'll even create an Outlook, Outlook group that you can, if you wanted to keep them all together to send them all some kind of message. So that was pretty cool. Has a 30-day trial, and I found no limit on it during the time I was using it. So, it's got my vote. So clearcontext.com. Keep up the great show. Thanks.
Thanks, Patrick. That's great. Clearcontext.com. I'll link in the show notes. Give that a try if that's something that you're looking for in Outlook. So great tip. Thank you. if you are going to be up at 11 p.m. on Sunday night, check out The Art of Podcasting. I will be a guest with Steve Cherubino on that show. So 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, The Art of Podcasting. I will be a guest this Sunday night. This is from Tom, and he says, "Hey, Mike, just wanted to pick your brain. If you have a computer with infected DLL files, missing Windows services caused by a Trojan, are you better off just reformatting than fixing each problem? Thanks." I would give it one good fix with tweaking.com repair, the Windows repair utility, and run all 21 fixes. That takes about a half hour, an hour. If it doesn't fix everything, then for me, it's redo the system. That's it. Just redo the system. I always put a time limit on what it would take to fix because my time is just way too valuable. I give it a couple hours. If I can't bring this system back to a healthy state in 2 hours, then redo the system. It's easier. You can always copy the drivers or re-download new drivers, reinstall, especially if it's Windows 7. Windows 7 installs very, very fast, so I have no problem. I can reinstall Windows 7 in a half hour. Now, maybe not all the updates, but how much data are we looking at? How much software are we looking at being has to be reinstalled? I'll consider all those things when I'm making that determination to go down the road of fixing versus reinstalling. It sounds like if you just got too many system services and DLLs, you probably will be better off of redoing the system. All right, this is from Bill, and this is a question and possible show idea. I have been a listener for a while now and feel like I can take on any of my computer problems with you and the group's cumulative knowledge. Thanks for all of your advice you've shared. A few weeks ago, you talked about steps to clean up and free up space on a computer before you got started with a reinstall or upgrade. You mentioned the blue file folders in the Windows directory. What are they? Can they be deleted without worry? Wow. Interesting how you kind of put that back to me. Blue folders mean they're compressed. It doesn't mean you can delete them. What I should have said is the ones that have dollar signs after you turn on, unhiding all the system files and folders, make sure that you're viewing everything. So you go into the file tools, the view options, and you make sure you can view everything. And you see dollar signs, they are on XP and some servers. Those directories are directories that are holding all of the information of hotfixes and service packs that have been applied in case you want to uninstall them. And some of them are so old, there's no way you're going to want to uninstall them. So that was an easy place to go. But just because they're blue does not make it safe to delete. Let me be clear. You got to make sure that they begin with that dollar sign or they begin with that hidden symbol, that these are Windows directories that can be deleted. Great question. I'm glad you put this to me. Let's continue. Could you discuss what you do when confronted with a computer that has limited free disk space and what steps to take to clean up and make room so that utilities can start cleaning things up? I get nervous when a utility shows me a list of files to eliminate. I don't know if there will be a downside to the elimination of these files. Do we trust the utility's list? What's the right way to approach cleaning up a hard drive or junk? Thanks for your enthusiasm and advice. I look forward to every week's podcast. It's a tremendous question. I pull out CCleaner first. If it's let's back up. If it's Windows XP and we're trying to find space, then I use the temporary file cleaner, TFC by Old Timer. I run that And that usually finds a lot of junk in temporary files that will clean up. Then I will, that usually gets me a couple gig back, but sometimes it doesn't. Then I will pull out CCleaner. CCleaner will absolutely, when you run the analyze, I always let it delete all of the files that it finds for the, it's really just internet cache and temporary files. I trust CCleaner's cleanup analysis and I let it delete. Now, can I say that for all programs? No, but I've done it enough times that I feel confident with what CCleaner's reporting, and it's never disappointed me. It's never deleted something that was important. While I'm there, I also run the registry cleaner and I let it fix all of the problems that it finds. Once I've done that and I've went into the Windows directory of XP and I've seen that all those $ folders and I've deleted them, now I evaluate, what am I looking at? Have I gotten any space back? I've definitely cleared enough space so it can run the program Tree Size. Tree Size has a free version that allows you to run this utility that will report back on what is consuming all of the space, what directories, where it's taking up, and you can drill down and find. A lot of times it's the antivirus program where it's been quarantining gigs and gigs of stuff that you can clean out. So there's sometimes it can reveal things to get space. There's also, you may have no other choice but to get a bigger hard drive, which was my client that I talked about that brought me the system that had a literally only a 50 gig hard drive, and we moved them to 160 gig hard drive. And now they got 128 gigs free instead of 2 gigs free, which was after all of the cleaning that we've done. I think we might have hit 3. I literally ran everything that I just talked about. And with analyzing their system, we were only able to come up with 3 gig of space that is not enough room to live and operate properly. So the only solution was to get a bigger hard drive. But if you find all these things and run Tree Size and take a look at what's consuming the space and then look to see if it's reasonable, can you remove it? Sometimes that's the answer right there, and you've gotten enough space to be comfortable to operate. But if you've done all these steps and you still don't have enough space, that's it. It's time for a bigger hard drive. And then you got to go through the process of backing up your data, where use the auto backup for tech, FABS auto backup for tech. And you, please, you only have to the end of this month to get 40% off. And you can use the code GDRWKK. Use that code, get 40% off. I use this program every day to back up all of my clients' data files and move them safely to an external drive, redo the operating system, and then use the program to put everything back. And you can do that to move to a larger hard drive. Buy the larger hard drive, reinstall the operating system, reinstall the drivers, go to ninite.com, get all the free programs that you need, get them downloaded and installed. Then use FABS Auto Backup for Tech to put the data all back. So hope that helps. Great question, Bill. And he is in the Scranton, PA area. Thank you. Let's get to the last email here. And this is from Joe. And he says, hi, Mike. I love your show. And it is one of my favorite podcasts. I listen to it every Monday morning at work since I have found it. I was listening to some of them again, and on episode 394, you were talking about LastPass. I thought I would write you and let you know why I quit using it. Last year, when they had the security breach and recommended that everyone change their password, I did, but I did not write it down. Yes, that was my mistake. My old password was very long and with all of the right things to keep it safe. And it was one that I would never forget and could remember easily. Well, the new one I thought was, but wasn't. Anyway, I paid for the premium bundle to support LastPass and Xmarks, my favorite bookmarking backup tool. My hard drive crashed, and when I reloaded and was setting everything back up, when I got to LastPass, I could not remember my new password. I went to their website and looked up the help section. I figured since I had the premium version that I would get a little more help. Wrong. They offer no way to recover or help you recover a lost master password. Their site said to log in on another computer where it was set up and get it from there. I didn't have another computer when it's with it set up. So the website said my only option was to delete my account and set up a new one. I realized that it was my mistake for not writing the master password down, but I figured since I had the premium account, I might have more options, but there was none. So I canceled my account and went to KeePass. It is free and offers the same thing. Thanks, and I love your show, Joe. Joe, that was a great comment that I wanted to get into tonight's show and share. You would think what is reasonable for LastPass is to at least have a process with security questions. That's why they ask you to pick, you know, your pet's first name, your favorite car, there's all kinds of security questions that banks and everybody else that has any kind of service that is security central around a password, well, you have those security questions. Why isn't LastPass doing that? Why don't they have security questions that you should go through, be able to answer them all to have a password reset? It seems reasonable. I mean, I can reset my password pretty much anywhere. So with just being able to answer a few questions, have it be delivered to the proper email account, and then go through a process to reset it. They shouldn't make it easy to reset, but they should at least have a process to do it. So I completely 100% agree with you, Joe. And let me know if anybody else has had that experience out there with LastPass, because you would hope that they would have had some way to recover a master password. Again, they shouldn't make it easy. They should make you jump through hoops. And I could see people complaining about all the hoops they make you go through, but at least they should have those hoops that you jump through and just not offer none and just say, oh, well, too bad, it's gone, delete your account. That's not an acceptable answer from a company of that size. With that, it's getting to the end of the month, and as everybody's getting ready to go back to school, Amazon will have your school supplies. If you're shopping on Amazon or anybody else that you know is using Amazon, please use my links to shop Amazon. So this way I get some credit and help support the show, especially the links amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon. You can click on the link on the left-hand side of the website. And once you're there, your prices stay the same, but it helps to support the Mike Tech Show. And right now, getting ready for back to school, I don't have that issue. My kids aren't young enough now going back. If you know anybody that's going back, that's a great place to shop for everything. Everything you need. I have a story I'm going to share real quick. This is a silly thing, but I like the soap Coast. If anybody remembers that. They don't sell it anymore in the stores. CVS, everywhere. Years ago, you used to be able to buy Coast. It's just one of these little things. I love it. Why can't I go to a store and buy it? You know, Amazon has it. And if you look at the comments for Coast, everybody that's buying it, they said the same thing. They can't find it in any of the stores, but you can buy it on Amazon. So that is just one of those little gems that I've been able to find that it's been able to help me. And I just figured I would share that with you. You can buy anything from them. So that's pretty cool. No music tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. And send me your feedback. Send me your comments and messages. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.